Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From the Athletic and the MLB Network, Jason Stark. We're thrilled to have him with us this season. Jason, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing fine. We seem like we ask you about Mookie Betts almost every week, but you know, here he is, right. Another three-home run game. He has more of those than Ted Williams already. Is that just sort of a quirky stat or a glimpse into the kind of talent this guy has?
I was going to say, the reason he asks about him every week is he hits three home runs in a game every week. It's amazing. He's had 2 in 2 weeks. You know, the Ted Williams stat aside, the one that kind of blows me away is David Ortiz had none in his career. And this guy is 26 years old, and he's had four. All the active leadoff men combined, besides him, have one, Brian Dozier. That's what we're looking at. This is a rare talent. And, you know, he's 5'9". The thing that strikes me about him is the bat speed is just incredible. And, I don't know how you measure this. This feels like the best bat speed that he has had at any point in his career. It's the most he's ever pulled the ball. You know, he was always a guy who used the whole field. He still does. I mean, that one bomb to center field yesterday was ridiculous. But he's pulling the ball more than he ever has. And that's a sign of a guy whose bat speed and hand-eye are off the charts.
Yeah, I was going to kind of ask you about, you know, the mechanics of it, too. You know, from people you talk to, what is it about, you know, his approach and his mechanics that allow him to generate so much power?
He had a hard time with this last year. And so it is one of those things that's hard to maintain. But I think it all starts with the fact that he's such a great athlete. And, he's super intelligent, and I mean that in every way. He's got that incredible baseball IQ, and he's just got tremendous aptitude, period, for whatever he's being taught, whatever he's being told. And it's just one of those years where it all comes together. I don't know how you explain a guy who's 5'9", doing what he's doing, showing the power that he's got, but that's one of the beauties of baseball is you don't have to be built like Aaron Judge to do this.
Jason, it's like everybody the Braves have tried as far as, you know, putting young guys in the lineup or on the mound. It's worked so far this season. Whether it sticks or not, how much optimism should there be for Braves fans, you know, looking up at first place this morning, and we're in the month of May?
You know, I just saw them over the weekend in Philadelphia, and they've got that 2016 Astros look to me. You know, where you could... He knew all these prospects were coming, all these young guys were coming, and then all of a sudden, there they were, out on that field, and you realize what you're looking at. Ozzy Albies is another guy who blows me away. He's basically Jose Altuve's size. He's 21 years old, and he's got 22 extra base hits. He's leading the league in extra base hits, and he's 21. Here's a group that's done that. Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Ty Cobb, Sherry McGee.
Hello.
I have no doubt that he is the real deal, is what he's done since he arrived last year. Ronald Acuna, how could he not be a superstar? He's the fastest guy on the field. He's an impact defender, no matter where you put him in the outfield. He's hitting 345 with more doubles than singles, and a couple of those doubles, they should have been singles. He just doesn't stop running. The other night, because they call up Mike Soroka, they had the three youngest players in the major leagues, and no team has had three players that young in the starting lineup in 40 years. 1978 Braves were the last team. You want those names? you want to guess? You want me to give you the names?
The 1978 Braves, Dale Murphy?
No, he was not one of them, actually.
Bob Horner?
Bob Horner was.
Claudio Washington?
No, I better help you.
Okay. Jerry Royster is going to be my next.
Bill Nye Rodney.
We don't want to go through that whole team, do we?
No, go ahead.
Larvell Blanks. No, not the answer. Bob Horner, Glenn Hubbard, Eddie Miller, who I barely remember at all, in September of 78. And I just think this isn't just a fluke. This is one of the best lineups in the league. And, you know, Soroka starts this wave of young starters who have a chance to be upper tier, top of the rotation starters. And it's exciting, man. Even Mike Foldynewicz has made big strides. His stuff is as good as anyone's in the league. They gotta fill some holes, and you know they're far from a finished product, but they're the real deal, absolutely.
We're on with Jason Stark of the Athletic and Major League Baseball Network, and Jason, I guess first and foremost for me is that is it strange that Pujols is two hits away from 3,000, and we're talking about how bad his contract is. How is that being viewed?
You know, I do these shows all over America, and I'm on TV, and you're the first person this week who has asked me about Albert Pujols' 3,000th hit. That blows my mind. And I recognize that he is not what he was, okay? That would make him basically the same as anyone who's ever played any sport, right? And I feel like when players get to this point, and they're about to do something this rarefied, it's a time to take a step back and not pick apart what their contract looks like or how little they resemble the guy they once were in their prime, but to take stock of the career they've had. And you know, I've been working on a piece about Albert and his career and just a couple things that stick out. Over 42% of his hits have been extra base hits. That's the highest percentage of anyone who's got 3,000 hits. And then the other one, which is so rare in this day and age, how many times has Albert struck out 100 times? Never. Not once. 17 straight seasons of not striking out 100 times. Only other player with 3,000 hits, 500 homers who can say that is Hank Aaron. For me, he's one of the greatest right-handed hitters who ever lived, and I would prefer to talk about that this week. We can talk about his contract some other time.
Jason, I saw your interview with Buck Showalter, and to sort of get to the essence of Buck, you talked about watching multiple games with him while you were both at ESPN.
Yeah, Mark. In fact, I've got a Buck Showalter Nashville Sounds bobblehead on my shelf.
There you go.
Very impressive item. Buck sees things no one else in the world sees. I'm convinced of that. And Tim Kirchner and I have talked about this. You'd sit around this room and there'd be 10, 12, 15 games on all these TVs. And Buck would be sitting there, hey, did you see that? Hey, did you see that? And we're saying, what? What just happened? You know, we didn't see any of it. He saw all of it. And I've said this many times. I don't think I've ever met a human being more prepared to be a major league manager than Buck. There is nothing that comes up in the course of a game or the course of managing his team over a season that he isn't ready for, that he hasn't thought about, that he hasn't planned out, that he hasn't experimented with. I remember one time we were sitting in a meeting before Baseball Tonight, and there's TV on the background, and a batter hit a ground ball and then slid head first into first base. And somebody in the meeting said, why do guys keep doing that? And Buck, of course, said, you know, one year in the Florida State League, we experimented with that. We had our two fastest guys. We lined them up at home plate, and we had them both run down the line, and one ran through the bag, and the other one slid, and we did it 10 times. And this is just vintage Buck. And I think in that show, a half hour of Buck just talking, everything that came into his head, it all shines through, doesn't it?
It really does. You wrote about the excessive strikeouts, and the problem is you really can't adjust for the pitchers because it's a different culture. Guys are swinging out of their shoes in a way that they didn't, in, you know, maybe when, you know, we were growing up watching the game. So where is this whole strikeout thing headed?
You know, I don't know what the answer is. I really don't. You know, we're looking at, this is hard to believe, right? We're looking at about 2,500 more strikeouts this year just than last year at the current rate. And the other stat that really got my attention was, if this continues, there are going to be 10,000 fewer balls in play this season than 9 years ago.
Wow.
And baseball has been talking about this. They've had these different competition committees trying to come up with answers. Don't know that there is one. You know, they talked at one point about raising the strike zone, right? Because, you know, so many of those pitches in those 2 inches below the knees that are now being called strikes are either swings and misses or ground balls into the shift, so they're all outs. But that just might produce more walks, and that's not what they're looking to do either. I don't know what the answer is, because you've got more pitchers throwing 95 miles an hour than at any time. It basically doubles every 3 years now. And you've got all this information that tells these pitchers, if we throw this guy this pitch in this spot in this count, he's going to miss it. And you're just seeing the results of that. It's an ominous trend. I don't know what the answer is.
We'll get to some more obscure ex-Braves next week when we have Jason Stark of The Athletic and the MLB Network. Great stuff. Thanks, Jason.
Hey, enjoyed it, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks, we'll see Jason. You later.